At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
We're going to bring y'all into our huddle.
You are in the Warriors Huddle with me, Bram, and with me, per usual, my master of all things video and sound, Maxime.
How's it going?
Maxime, a couple of logistics we should get out of the way here. I am sitting in a car. The timing for today's recording didn't work out the exact way we wanted to, but obviously we wanted to make sure that we posted an episode. So I'm right now sitting in a car looking out on the gorgeous Bay Area. It is 90 degrees outside. So we got to know, you know, two things. One, the sound probably sucks ass. That is not Maxime's fault. This is on me for the second week. I don't even have a mic, so I apologize. And then two, maybe more importantly, if I stop talking, Maxime, it's because I finally passed out in this fucking car. And like, I just need you to call emergency services, whatever it is. You know, if it goes longer than like 30, 35 seconds, we have a problem and I'm going to need you to just jump into action.
Yeah, well, I think it's important that you let everybody know what your location is live on the pod, mainly so that I can call in an emergencies, but also so that all of your stalkers can find you.
You know, how about I just give you my cell phone live here?
Oh, good idea.
And you can just call me if that cuts out with those things in tow. Man, let's jump in here and let's go right to the jump. Yeah, so we don't always have one of these. The jump is when something has happened in Warriors world that requires immediate attention. And we've got one this week, man. So Steph Curry sat down with Mark Spears of Amscape. And Mark asks him whether or not he's interested in following the path of Kobe Bryant and Dirk Nowitzki. Or put differently, does Steph want to play for one team his whole career? Something that we have kind of pre-assumed, you know, and we're all obviously hoping for. Here's Curry's answer. Quote, "It's tough, right? I've always said I want to be a Warrior for life. At this stage of my career, I feel like that's possible. And you can still be competitive. It doesn't mean you're guaranteed the championship. It doesn't mean winning. Winning is always a priority, but obviously you're realistic. It doesn't mean it's going to happen if you stay the course. You need to shake things up and keep reimagining what it looks like to evolve with what the league is right now, with where some of these talented teams are now. I'm taking it one step at a time, to be honest. I think that's the only way that will protect my happiness. Also, it allows me to enjoy being myself when I'm out there playing, and I'll continue to make the decisions that are best for me and for my career at the end of the day. When it comes to just the imagination, I want to win. Let's put it this way. It's a long-winded way of saying that if it's a situation where you're a bottom feeder and it's just because you want to stay there, I'd have a hard time with that. But I don't think that's going to be the reality." So this is the second kind of maybe I won't be here forever quote from Steph in what, about a month. We don't have audio on this one, so we don't get to check out his vocal inflection. Last time we read it and then played it, and there's two different feels. You're going to be stuck with just my shitty audio reading of it this time. But hearing that, Maxime, what's your first take, man? Because last time, you were nothing but optimistic. You thought it was nothing. You weren't worried at all. We've got a second quote. So how does this one hit you?
First of all, dramatic reading. That was fantastic. I could have sworn I had my eyes closed a little bit. I was like, I think that is Steph Curry. I didn't know we had the audio for that.
You know, I worked on it. I worked on it for a while. I kind of channeled his voice. I thought that no mic would help make it seem a little bit more like I was speaking off the cuff to Mark Spears. So, you know, I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's it's well played, and clearly why we did this whole thing with the no mic thing. Really, really just excellent foresight. In any case, I'm burying my own head because I don't actually want to talk about it. What we talked about last time with this quote was that, sure, while I felt optimistic and I generally felt like it was nothing, I also said this is the first time that Steph has ever done something like this. And for him to have a decade and a half career in the NBA, you know what he's doing. You know that he's very media savvy. So to then decide for the second time, yeah, I'll sit down with Mark Spears and really lay it out like this. He's too polished of an athlete and a media personality for this not to be something. So it has me a little bit nervous. I also do hear, you know, the first time the quote came out, or I guess the first time I saw it on Reddit, was, as per usual with Reddit and Twitter, very decontextualized. And so it was sensationalized and it was like, hey, I'm not going to stick with a bottom feeder. And the context does make it different, in the same way that hearing Steph's vocal inflection on the first one makes me feel a little bit more positive. I think what he's, the implication here, and I think he said it explicitly, is that he doesn't expect the Warriors to be a bottom feeder team. But yeah, as Draymond has said, as Clay has shown us, the NBA is a business. We have to plan for all eventualities. And Steph is clearly kind of signaling that he wants to make sure the front office knows that he's not just going to sit idly by, that his desire to be a Warrior for the rest of his life is not as important to him as his desire to compete at the highest level.
He is screaming at the top of his through the media lungs, do not take me for granted. That's the way I'm taking this. You know, there's nothing accidental here. Steph's a global brand. Global brands don't just accidentally pop out. They are calculated and created. And so when he talks about what team he may play for, when he's talking about his legacy, that's not some shit that just comes off the cuff. You know, it's not like, I wonder how I feel today. He is calculating exactly the image he would like to project. And then he's coming out and saying, I want this, but it's not guaranteed, is directly at Mike Dunleavy in that front office. And he, you know, the way I take it is, I love it here. I'd like that to be my legacy, but don't think for a second I'm going through like a 19 win season and just being happy that this is cementing my, I'm a one player guy. You know, he's not going to do the Kobe Bryant end of career stuff. He would like to be on a winner. And the shit that concerns me, Maxine, because even before these things started stumbling out, before we started hearing these two quotes for him, I have said on this podcast, I'm worried because I am sure he's bothered by the ascension of these younger players and these younger teams and him not necessarily being there. And I'm going to read this portion again. Quote, you need to shake things up and keep reimagining what it looks like to evolve with what the league is at right now, with where some of these talented teams are now, end quote. He is seeing the OKCs of the world pass him, doesn't like it. And the way I'm reading it is telling Golden State, let's be competitive or I'm going to go somewhere that will be. So, you know, 1 to 10, 1 being nothing to worry about. He'll be here forever. We could lose every game, go 0-82, and Steph will still wear Golden State gear out and about. To 10, he's out of here. He hates it here. It doesn't matter how many wins we are, you know, we're going to lose them. I'm at like a 4. Yeah, 4, 5. I'm not panicky, but I'm worried.
For sure. I'm right there with you. I think 4 is the right number. I also do think, again, as we talked about before, this is the franchise cornerstone pushing his weight. And I have to believe that that is going to yield results. It is unfortunate that you don't get to have the best front office in the league simultaneously with the best player in the league. Not that Steph is the best player in the league anymore, but, you know, one of the 5-6 best players still in the NBA, because you're right. I would love to have Sam Presti orchestrating all of these moves, somehow having a million draft picks and assembling a collection of talent that is actually capable of being the one seed in the Western Conference. At the same time, it's completely absurd. And it is unfortunate that we can't do that with Steph. I also think there is something to be said for this starting to percolate and come to the surface after he plays a bunch of exhibition games with LeBron James. Look, I'm not saying that I think he's trying to angle to play with LeBron in the league, but I do think he is seeing whoa, this is what it feels like to have a partner where, you know, when I screen for the dude, he gets open, I get the ball back. There's a chemistry there that I haven't seen in the past couple of years on the Warriors. And it kind of makes my heart break. And I feel like for him, it might be an awakening, a reminder of what's possible.
No, I think you can take that a step further. Take it off the floor, put it into the locker room. Right now, he is surrounded by the stars of the NBA, both young and established. If you think those guys aren't talking shit in there, I mean, of course, yes, they have a common goal. Yes, they won a gold medal. But are they also talking about their teams and what's going to happen next year and who's going to win championship? Of course they are, dude. They're the most competitive people on earth. Of course they're talking shit. The fact that Steph and is giving these quotes now, you know, in what I would imagine after all this shit talking, you got to put it into context, man. You know, you watch at the sequence of the evidence matters here, that he's saying this after we've fallen out of relevance, that he's saying this after we didn't make it in the playoffs, that he's saying this when he's right now surrounded by people who are probably slated to do better than him, not just next year, but for the foreseeable future. Does it matter? Hell yes. And add in that he's saying this after we swung and missed on Paul George, after we're flailing with Lauri Markkanen. So, you know, this explanation that I'm giving you now doesn't bump my number up. I'm still at a four, but, and I think that Golden State is an intelligent organization. I trust that they have an even better read of this than I do. They know this, you know, they know this player, they know this situation better than I can ever understand it. So I'm sure they're going to act appropriately. But yeah, you know, all things considered, this is something that is at least worth paying attention to. It's not that means nothing. I think it means at least a little bit here. All right, enough panicking, okay? We are right at the precipice of Olympic basketball. And then right when the Olympics wraps, we're going to be real close to training camp. So we've got games that matter coming our way. We don't need excuses for prediction podcasts anyways, but we've got one. So let's do one. And I've got some over-under here that'll help us hopefully disagree. So I'll start with some Olympic stuff. The number is one, Maxime. Over, under, one. How many games will the United States lose in the Olympics in basketball? Why don't you take it first? What do you got?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. I mean, I hope it's under, but, you know, as just a quick review, this is a knockout-style tournament, which means single elimination after the group stage. So we could drop one in this first three games and still get to the single elimination round. That's not an impossibility, especially with how close some of these games have been. However, I still think that I take USA over the field in every single game. I also think that sort of like Summer League and the lead up games before the actual season starts, those exhibition games didn't really matter. And I think you're going to see an intensity jump, like a couple of levels, when it actually matters. I mean, these guys want to win. They want to win gold. For Steph, this is an aspect of his career. You know, getting the gold medal is not something that he's done yet. They really, really care about this. And I don't think that you saw them caring in those exhibition games because they didn't need to. There were no stakes. I'm saying under. I'm saying we sweep.
So I just... to kind of play it out. Hopefully I'm going to agree with you, unfortunately enough. I also take the under. Am I completely confident about that? No. I mean, is Sudan like a huge NBA-filled player country? Because we beat them by one and probably should have lost by 10. But, you know, on the other side of it, we still have a team filled with not just NBA stars, with NBA legacy guys, and they're going to add Kevin Durant. And so if I had to bet something significant to me, I'd bet the under, but I'd have my heart in my throat, you know, every game. Like, I don't think it's going to be an easy bet. And I think it'd be pretty damn close to even money. Do you care? Like, how much does this mean to you? Like, do you really want the U.S. to win the Olympic tournament?
Oh, of course. And I mean, yes, because I'm an American citizen. Also because... this is Steph's go at it. This is, I do not want to hear more shit about Steve Kerr and his inability to adjust on the fly and his rotational issues and all this shit. I just like, it just adds so much more noise to my life as a Warriors fan if we don't win gold. So like, can we just go out and smash the competition? I mean, it just, I'm going to be watching every game. I'm going to be watching the opening ceremonies. I'm going to be obsessively paying attention.
It's a very weird time to be patriotic. You know, we don't have to get into politics. It's just kind of, there's a lot of things that goes along with the Stars and Stripes right now. But even that said, nothing makes me more bandwagon patriotic than any kind of like country sports. You know, rewind the clock. I don't even know what it was. It was like 3 months ago or something. And the Cricket World Cup was happening. And the U.S. team beat, I think, Pakistan. I don't remember who they beat. For about a 15-minute period, I was a huge cricket fan. Like, I was on board and was going to watch all of the cricket games. For the Olympics, I get so fired up for sports that I don't even understand. Like, the hammer throw. Like, I'm not even really sure the logistics of the hammer throw or curling. Like, I have no idea how to do that. I genuinely care. Will I care about USA basketball? Fuck yes, I will. Way more than I need to. So it will mean the world to me.
Well, and you can tell that you don't care because curling is in the Winter Olympics. And you're like, yeah, it's all just Olympics. So what?
Yeah, I said, wait a minute. I didn't just, they are in fact the Olympics. And I started with hammer throw. I knew that curling was there. I just, you're lucky I didn't do the skiing one where they shoot a gun. I just didn't know the name of it. Yeah, I was going to throw that one into this last year. You're just showing off now. You can fuck yourself.
No, but this is the thing. This is the beauty of the Olympics. This is my favorite part, is just feigning expertise immediately. You know, I'm like watching a floor routine and I'm like, oh yeah, well that triple axle wasn't perfect or whatever. Because I'm suddenly an expert. It's my favorite time.
Yeah, well, we apparently handle it differently. I didn't feign any expertise. I told you, I don't even understand the rules in any way, but I definitely care and will be definitely caring through these Olympics.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
What's your biggest bandwagon moment? Yeah, I'll keep it personal. If you have one, you can throw one out there. So, I mean, like, generally speaking, dude, I'm crazy about the teams I root for, right? I rooted for the Warriors for 20 years when they were the worst team on earth. I've rooted for Cal Sports forever, even though they're never going to win anything at any point. All of my teams, generally speaking, suck ass, and I stick with them because I feel like that's what you have to do. You know, like, you suffer with your own. But there's been some bandwagon moments for me, and the biggest one, I spent a quarter going to school in London. And when I was out there at that time, Manchester United was on this big heater. They were playing phenomenally well. For those 3 months, Maxime, you've never seen a bigger Manchester United fan. I even bought like a hat, dude. Like, I was like, I was all the way on board. I'd like bring it up. I just casually mentioned the phrase Man U and then hoped somebody would like, oh, are you a fan? I'd say yes. If they asked me any questions, it would collapse immediately. But, you know, if they just looked at me and I could just use one phrase, I seem like a soccer expert. For you, any bandwagon moments over your sporting career?
Well, I mean, the one that immediately came to mind because we were talking about the Olympics is really just because I had a massive crush on Carly Patterson in, what was it, the 2004 Olympics, I think. So, I was in middle school, but nonetheless, like I got to high school and I had like pictures of her in my locker. And so, again, that's when my budding gymnast expertise really took to the fore. That's the one.
I'll take your invitation. Next number, 3.5. How many games go by before everyone starts questioning Coach Kerr's rotations?
God.
I'll take the under because it's already happened. We haven't even gotten through these friendlies before you're seeing snipes at who Kerr should be starting and who maybe should be bringing off the bench a little bit faster. So under and hard under for me.
This is so rough. I don't want to be like a Kerr apologist into this, Mike. I am frustrated by his rigidity at times. I'm frustrated by what seems to be his inability to make the quick second decisions. You know, people were talking about how he should step down and let Spo be the head coach, kind of like how Biden stepped down to let Kamala run for president for the Democratic Party instead. And I think there is some from reality to that, especially in these single elimination games where you don't have a series to tease out different matchups and, you know, and play the long game. But come on, right? Like, not only are there a million different things that Kerr has to weigh, it seems like the rumors are swirling that Embiid was promised a starting spot, so you got to give him the starting spot. Like, Nike is putting a lot of pressure on. There's all sorts of things that are happening off the court that weigh onto what Kerr is doing. Could there be a better X's and O coach? Sure, but is there a coach that is more likely to be able to wrangle literally 11 future Hall of Famers and Derek White on the same team? No, it's Steve Kerr. There's like, this is the perfect coach for this team. Yes, there's going to be annoyances about matchup adjustments. Also, the USA should steamroll the whole thing. So I'm hoping that we're not going to have too much issue here.
I feel like the Biden comparison might be a little unfair. Unless I missed the press conference where Steve Kerr forgot what he was saying and then finished the sentence using the phrase Medicare for no reason. And if that did happen, then I immediately apologize. Why did I believe in Steve Kerr? I think that there will be a bunch of critiques, and I understand that. But for a man who built a dynasty based on his ability to juggle superstar personalities, you know, the exact skill set that you're going to need in a team made up of superstar personalities, he's probably the best one for the job. Last over under for the Olympics. But this one needs a little bit of a reminder. So a few months back, I don't even remember how many, let's say five or six, a sprinter named Noah Lyles gave kind of an annoying press conference where he dropped some critiques at the NBA champion being called the world champion. And we've got that quote with Slater.
You know, the thing that hurts me the most is that I have to watch the NBA finals and they have world champion on their head. World champion of what? The United States? Don't get me wrong. I love the U.S. at times, but that ain't the world. That is not the world. We are the world. We have almost every country out here fighting, thriving, putting on their flag to show that they are represented. There ain't no flags in the NBA.
I remember being annoyed by that when it came out a while back and getting ready to be relevant again. I wonder if we're going to see it a lot more because now the NBA players that he was just shithousing are in fact playing international competition. They are deciding who the best in the world is. So we've already kind of hammered out whether or not Noah Lyles was ridiculous for that take. My focus this time is a little bit different. The number 0.5, Maxime, over under how many times an NBA player mentions Noah Lyles or vice versa. Noah Lyles mentions an NBA player during the Olympics as they're actually out there actually playing international basketball now. I'll go first on this one. I'll take the over. I do not think the NBA guys will mention Noah Lyles. In fact, I am confident that not one of them remember Noah Lyles in any way, shape, or form, and will not be saying shit about him. But I bet you Noah Lyles does, and I bet you he'll work out some little thing at some point where he points out that quote, and he gets another 10 minutes of attention out of that, in addition to whatever attention that he earns by winning, you know, medals, whatever it is, because I believe he's in the Olympics this year as well.
We saw how enthusiastic and excited Bam Adebayo and I think others were to be able to meet Simone Biles. There's a level of respect amongst all of these athletes for people in different sports who are also at the pinnacle of their career. Also, Noah Lyles is that quote, like the world champion of what? Like the way he said that is like, oh man, he's so charismatic. It drives me crazy. For sure he practiced it, yeah. Which is all to say, like, this is such a boon for him, you know? I mean, the one that we pulled up, this quote from The Guardian, it's over a million views. Like, this is such an opportunity for his brand, right? Everybody outside of basketball, for the majority of these athletes, it's really hard to make a living full time as an Olympic athlete in any sport besides like basketball and I guess soccer. So this is an opportunity for him to get his face out there, but I wouldn't be surprised if the men's basketball team doubles down on it and says, hey, I respect you. You're at the peak of your craft too. It's harder for you to get a buck than it is for us, you know, comparatively. And so they might lean into it and like have it become a whole bit. I would love to see that.
I really hope that does not happen. I hope if anybody asks them about Noah Lyles, they say, who? And then that's it. That's the end of the entire interaction. And I also like that you threw in, I guess, soccer too, where in related news, the soccer players make more money than any other person on earth in sports. You know, like Messi, I guess that's not true anymore. Ronaldo makes more money in a year than most NBA players make over the course of an entire contract, which, yeah, just...
Right. Yeah. But well, hold on. Cause this is, so here's the thing. And I think this, there's a couple of things to toss in here. First of all, Olympic soccer is weirdly uninteresting because they have all of these super archaic rules where there's like, with an exception of three players, the rest of the squad can't have played in a world tournament in the previous, whatever, 4 years or something. So like, because soccer, everybody cares about the World Cup, you essentially, except for three legacy dudes, you don't get anybody on these soccer squads that are, you know, the peak of their team's sport. So that's why I was like, I guess, because you tend to see a step back, which are still athletes paid bananas money. But also, did you see Steph being a tourist around London and like just pretty much jumping out of the van and walking up to like Big Ben and you know the Buckingham Palace and just like with a bucket hat on being like, whoa, this is crazy, and taking pictures and like nobody approaching him? Like, that's the deal. If it was, I don't know, Thierry Henry or some soccer star, right? Like, he would be mobbed. But it's Steph Curry, and no, I think this speaks to just, it's a different sport.
Take that a step further, and I'm you and I won't argue about the definition of Olympic soccer versus regular soccer and whether or not you can make a living
drag you into
in
it.
One versus the other. But I'm just going to say, you can fuck yourself, and that distinction is ridiculous. The Steph Curry thing, of course I saw, and you are burying the lead, my friends. As part of that video, Steph Curry puts on glasses in addition to that bucket hat, goes into an NBA store in London and approaches a woman who is buying a Steph Curry jersey and tells her, you like that jersey? You know, in the kind of comfortable, nice way that only Steph can do. He continues on. I think that's by far the best jersey. It takes her like 90 seconds, maybe a little bit more, before she recognizes who he is. She's buying his fucking jersey, dude. Like, this is, you know, that she is in the NBA store specifically to buy his jersey and did not recognize him immediately. So yeah, there's a disconnect, which leads to, and it's the perfect transition, our final over under. The number is 0.5. It's a very familiar question, one we've answered a million times. Seems a little bit more pointed now. Maxime, how many teams will Steph Curry play for over his NBA career?
No, I don't want to answer this question, Bram.
I'm taking the over, my team. Maybe this will change. I'm taking the under a bunch of times. But the way this is currently going, and let me say, I believe that he has a statue. I believe that the documentary, the multiple documentaries, will most likely not feature whatever team he ultimately goes to next. This continues to be epilogue, right? This is not the story. This is what happened after the story. But I don't think that these quotes are accidental. I don't think the Warriors are very close to contention. And I do think within the next 3-4 years, there's a very legitimate chance that he plays for more than just the Golden State Warriors. So I don't know if I would bet it. You know, I'm not to the stage where I put any money on that. But yeah, maybe we'll call this a reverse jinx, but I'm to the portion where, you know, I'll take the over. I think there might be another team on his basketball card at some point.
Oof. I mean, again, you're seeing him enjoy the two-man game with LeBron. I think that pushes it a little bit more towards me taking the over too, but I think a lot of this depends on what happens in Dallas this year. If Klay Thompson ends up winning a fifth ring, Steph might look at that and say, like, okay, that is possible, right? Like, the narrative that we just heard Draymond on his podcast today say, yeah, I'm happy for Klay because this dude was unfazed by anything and then all of a sudden couldn't shake anything. He clearly needed a change of scenery. I'm glad he's doing it. You know, if this goes well for him, I could see Steph being like, well, you know, like, not winning is not fun. I think I need a change of scenery too. However, the Dallas Mavericks were in the finals last year. If they can't pull it off with Klay, I think Steph could say, you know what? Like, there's a lot of stuff keeping me around the Bay Area, and there's no guarantees that I'm going to have a more joyous situation somewhere else, that I'm going to have a front office and ownership group that's more in my corner than in some other random team. So, you know, I think there's a lot to be said for how these things play out with his friends. You know, he and Klay are going to still be talking all the time. And if it doesn't go well for Klay, yeah, Steph, then I take the under.
You know, I humbly push back on that, man. I think in his heart of heart, Steph Curry believes that he's a much better player than Klay Thompson. You know, true otherwise, I think he absolutely believes that. And I'll add another name. I think in his heart of heart, Steph Curry still believes he's better than the SGAs and Edwards of the years or of the world right now. You can't say it, you know? And so for me, I think that if next year his legacy starts taking random hits, if SGA and OKC go on another huge run and suddenly we start hearing the media talking about how SGA is above Steph on the point guard ladder, if Ant Edwards starts being considered a better guard than Curry is, it's going to be those little digs that'll make him think, you know what I need? Another championship. And if it's not here, I'll go to the place that can give it to me. You know, and then that's the distinction. I hear what you're saying. I love your read on, wow, Klay didn't find happiness even though he left. But that's why I point out, I think he thinks he's better than Steph, or better than Klay. That if he goes somewhere else, he'll be able to make a bigger difference. I hope I am wrong. And you know what? That's not even true. I don't hope I'm wrong. I hope that the Warriors surround him with the level of talent where this entire analysis doesn't mean shit, that he doesn't even have to think about it, that he continues to be a contender here and can further his legacy here so he doesn't have to look to greener pastures. But yeah, you know, he's not bringing this shit up twice in less than 2 months without it meaning something. There's no way. It's got to resonate somehow.
I hope you're right. I hope that, you know, I look at Jerry Reinsdorf in Chicago, right? That dude clearly only cares about his bottom line. And the best way to make that happen is for his team to be right in the play in every mix, right? Because they don't have to spend a bunch of money on their salary, and they also don't have to bottom out. So they continue to sell out their arena, which is like one of the biggest in the NBA. So there are all sorts of motivations at the ownership level for having a basketball franchise. Is Joe Lacob's to win with Steph Curry? Or is it for him to win the most amount of money that he possibly can? And he just saw that Steph was the golden ticket to making that happen. I don't know. Time will tell. But I sure hope that they want to do everything that they possibly can for Steph, which means surrounding him with talent, as I've said on every single episode.
And give him, you know, credit where it's due. That Joe Lacob and company spent so much money on the roster surrounding Steph, they had to change the rules. And they literally, these aprons and stuff, this is all aimed at Steve Ballmer and Joe Lacob. And so we know he's not Cohen. He's aiming at wins. He's aiming at banners. He's not aiming at bottom line. So if there's moves that they can figure out to be made, I trust Golden State to make them. Are they guaranteed to make them? I don't know. You know, they would have paid for Paul George, but that didn't happen. They are willing to pay for Lauri Markkanen right now, but it might not happen. So I the willingness is there. The resources are there. Will the opportunities arise? We will find out together, Maxime. And with that in mind, man, good stuff. I survived. I didn't pass out. I'm sweating like a maniac. I mean, like, it is inappropriate how fucking disgustingly sweaty I am right now. But we got to the end of the episode. For those listening, you don't need details about my car. You got a question you think we should answer. You think we did a good job, bad job, any job. You can shoot that feedback through email to
huddle@warriorshuddle.com.
Boom. With that in mind, we're on social media and Patreon and all other types of places. Just throw in Warriors Huddle. You'll find us. With that in mind, go Warriors. And hopefully we'll see you next week.
Good, good.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.